The following is brought to you by the Social Suplex Podcast Network.
This is John Silver, lead recruiter of the Dark Order, and you are listening to All Things Elite.
Welcome to the 180th episode of Social Suplex's podcast about AEW with a proclivity for positivity. Welcome to All Things Elite. My name is Austin Sumwitz. I am the host of this lovely show. Joining with me, as always, is my good buddy and friend Floyd Johnson Jr., who had a very eventful weekend. My man, how is you doing?
You want to talk about eventful weekends, because you know what? I realized I am becoming... started to sing the same tune, because I often come on and say I had one of the best weekends of my life, right? Well, I'll just say this to not brag. I had another great weekend in my life. So I went to San Antonio to visit the enemy, go to see the Royal Rumble, and we got in Friday. I did a meet and greet with Bianca Belair. She's very nice. Everybody's like, hey, what'd you have? I didn't really have, like, when I go get photos, I collect photos like baseball cards. I've told you that analogy before, Austin, right?
Right.
It's baseball cards. So if I don't have that baseball card, I try to get it. So I want to get a picture with Bianca as a part of the baseball cards. I didn't really have anything to say to Bianca. I mean, she's an amazing athlete. I have nothing negative about to say about her. I think she's a great wrestler. Is she my favorite wrestler? No. Is she my least favorite wrestler? No. It's just, hey, I want a picture with you. Thanks. You know, be nice. She was very nice. She spent a lot of time with the little kids that came up, and, you know, she did her thing, right? But it wasn't like this life-changing moment to meet Bianca. She's fine, right? So, met Bianca. That was cool. That was a cool moment. Got to hang out with the wife, went and had some dinner. She wasn't feeling well. She actually started feeling sick on the way drive down there.
Oh.
And she got to a point where she couldn't taste. So we had all these plans to go to these different places to eat. Well, she wouldn't have been able to taste it. So we decided not to waste any money. So we just went to Panera, got something to eat there. Saturday morning. Whoever listens to the show, forgive me for saying this. Understand. Remember this. Meeting wrestlers is like baseball cards to me. There's no emotion. So I'm going to say I met someone, and I don't want you to go crazy. Okay? I don't want you to go crazy. It's not personal. We're not best friends. Nothing. I went and met Austin Theory.
See, that's not what I would have thought that you were going to talk about.
I forgot about the day before that. Oh, rewind. I did meet Austin Theory. Seemed like a pleasant dude. Took a picture with him, right? The big one. I went heel for a few seconds. So, met Bianca, going through the store, trying to get everybody the gifts that they want and all that stuff. Someone's like, there's Nick Khan. And I'm like, no. What do you mean? Yeah. He's like, he's right there. And it was that. But you can tell by the excitement and the yelling, that was JR saying that. he's right there. I look, and oh, shit. That was Nick Khan, the CEO of WWE. Now, let me tell you. It has been It has been a dream of mine since I was very young and found out who the owner and CEO of the WWE was, to meet the CEO in WWE. Most 30-something years of my life went by, and I never met Vince McMahon as CEO. He loses the gig last year, and within a year, I've met the new CEO. So yep. I met Nick Khan. I was like, dude, this is like my 300th show. I'm like, I've been to a lot of these. And he's like, man, thanks for coming out. So I'm wearing my Cody stuff. I'm like, Cody shirt, Cody jacket, get a big old picture with him, my shit-eating grin, posted online, look who I ran into. Because my whole thing is this, right? I like meeting interesting, cool people, right? Am I a super fan of Nick Khan? No. Do I know his business strategies? No. Do I really care? Not really. This is Nick Khan. This is the CEO of a wrestling company I follow.
Right. You saw an albatross. Why are you not going to go ahead and try to take a picture with that? Dude, like, you are a man who supports the Jedi Khan, and you run into the Sith Khan. Like, you're not going to try to get a picture with the guy?
Dude, I'd take a picture with Donald Trump, dude. I would. It'd be like, hey.
See, you're better than me there.
You're like, I met Donald Trump. Cool, because he's fucking Donald Trump. And they're like, dude, one of the most interesting lives ever lived. Yeah, Donald Trump. You look at all the things he's been successful or fake successful or whatever political takes you on.
Successful.
And, you know, everything that he's been successful in, this dude is really fucking interesting, right? So I'm like, okay, I want to meet you, right? It's not personal. I don't like your politics. I'm not voting for you. I'll just take a picture with you. People go really deep when you take a picture with somebody.
Sure. And you're in full support of whatever.
Yeah, I look who I ran into. It was cool. Now
I just saw that and I was just like, how in the fuck?
Dude, just dumb. And that's the only thing I can call it, dumb luck. Because if JR hadn't pointed him out, I would have went and checked out and left with Nick Khan right there. And I am a ask for a picture guy. So I got my picture. JR took it. JR got his picture. Good day. Met Nick Khan. Awesome day, right? Because first thing I thought about after I got the picture of Nick Khan and posted it. Okay, the Venn diagram of normal fans. I'm not talking about wrestlers, people that are working backstage, celebrities. Normal fans that have met both Nick Khan and Tony Khan. How many people do you think that is?
Not a ton.
Right? Now, like, Nick Khan is not like a personality like Tony Khan. Tony Khan goes around after the show and meets people. A lot of people met Tony Khan. But Nick Khan, this was a random chance, probably never going to happen again, meeting with Nick Khan. So I'm like, dude, this is really cool. So I post it, thinking it's cool. But of course, my naivety, I forget that there are some people that live this shit. You know, that live wrestling and live this wrestling war. They are about that effing life. And they were in my chat. And you know what I just said? Everybody love everybody. Because you know what? It's not that deep. I'm still coming home to do all things elite, baby.
Exactly.
It's not deep. It's not.
So then going on towards the actual show.
Yes. So no. Then the next day, met Austin Theory. That was fun. Went to the Royal Rumble. And yeah, I have plans, you know. I planned to skip Mania this year. I was like, yeah, it doesn't seem interesting. I didn't want to see The Rock versus Roman, blah, blah, blah. Then last couple weeks ago, we hear The Rock doesn't look like he's going to be in Mania. And I'm like, huh, what? Say what? Yeah, The Rock probably not going to be able to get in the shape that he wants to get to be in Mania. So I'm like, okay. So there was an outside chance in my mind. So literally, I bought two autographs to meet Cody, because I figured on Sunday, because he was announced as the Sunday meet and greet. I bought a photo and two autographs. So I made sure I brought my Chase Cody, my Series 4 Chase Cody, and I brought my TNT title Cody. But the whole plan was, and I also got a wad of cash out. The whole plan was, the goal was, if Cody wins the Rumble, I am going to buy the Royal Rumble chair from someone as they're leaving. If Cody does not win the Royal Rumble, I will keep the money and I will go. My plan was to go to the Supercard of Honor and not go to WrestleMania this year. Well, well, well. The first match at the Royal Rumble, and I'm going to move a little quicker. First match at the Royal Rumble was the men's Royal Rumble. I was like, number one or two. I've been saying Cody needed to be number one or two so he could do his entrance. One or two comes. It's Gunther and it's Sheamus. We go through picks. We get to 29. And I forgot who 29 was, honestly. I mean, I don't remember who 29 was. But when 29 wasn't Cody, and we know Cody's in the Royal Rumble, Cody's 30. We stand up. And for the second time, I am there for a re-debuting Cody. WrestleMania, his re-debut from his excursion from the WWE, which is what he's calling an excursion from the WWE. And then the music hits, and it's Cody. And then everyone gets eliminated. This just amazing moment with Logan Paul and Ricochet basically just springboarded into each other. It was just dope. Everybody's like, I don't know why that happened. I'm like,
sometimes, it was nutty. It was definitely nutty.
I don't know what that happened. Sometimes dope shit just happens. It was cool. That's why it happened. You know what I mean? It was like, it's cool. It happened. Whatever. Cody then is in with Gunther. And I could see it going either way. Gunther has been pushed. He's been unstoppable. He's beaten everybody. And then there's Cody. That's the story. That's the story I want. But maybe I want it too bad. Crossroads. Clothesline over the top ropes. Your winner of your 2023 Royal Rumble, former AEW EVP, former multiple-time TNT champion, the American Nightmare, Cody Rhodes. I went nuts. I wore a specific shirt that night. Out of all the Cody shirts I have over 20-something Cody shirts. But I wore a specific one. It was one of his last AEW shirts, and it said heel babyface winner. And I was like, I don't care if he's a heel or a babyface at the Royal Rumble, I want him to be a winner. So I wore that specific shirt. And after he won, I literally started turning around and pointing winner at everybody that went around. Nobody was going against Cody. Literally, I was bragging to a bunch of people that were probably cheering for Cody, but I was so lost in the moment and so exuberant and so excited. And this leads to a point where I got to meet Cody the next day, and I said, when you pointed to the sign, you pointed me on a trip to L.A. I was like, you didn't point for you. You pointed for all of us. And that was just the moment. So I do get to tell a funny story. Now, this is funny story. So after the show, I'm standing in the lobby. I never go down to the floor where everybody gets chairs. I let everybody get their stuff clipped, the bands checked, and then they come up to the lobby. Concourse is what it's called. And I asked all people to buy the chair so I can make a deal with the guy. I have 170 cash. He's like, 200. I was like, dude, I got 170 cash and there's no ATM around. He takes the 170 cash because dude didn't want the chair. He just wanted to make sure he was getting as much money as possible. Get the chair. Really happy. That's how it's done. I'm getting Cody to sign my chair the next day. Happy dance, happy dance, happy dance. I get to the door and I'm walking out with the chair. Hey, I need to see your bracelet.
What? Oh, you got what nearly happened to Sydney.
And they're like, what? And they was like, I need to see your bracelet. And I'm like, you show your bracelets to get off the floor. I bought this in the lobby for $170. And they were like, no, they shouldn't have done that, blah, blah, blah. I'm like, it doesn't say not to do it. I'm like, I've been on the floor. It doesn't say not to do it. He checked out. He left. I'm like, I don't have a bracelet. They were like, you want to wait? And I was like, dude, of course. I didn't steal anything. I'm telling them, I didn't steal anything. If I stole something, I would have just ran. What are you going to do, stop me? I'm 6 foot 300 and some pounds. I mean, really? No? So they call. And initially she says, my Crystal tells me to run. My wife tells me to run. And initially she says, hey, we're going to let him go. And she's like, wait, hold on, right? So, apparently someone's coming over. Now, I'm going to tell you my exact thought process. Someone's coming over. If they're coming over, they're coming to take my chair, and I'm just going to be out of money. Why else would they come over? They would have just told them to let me go, right?
Right.
If they're coming over, they're coming to take my chair, right? The lady goes, walks off, right? The guy at the door starts looking at something else, and the door was in front of me. So I just literally ran.
That's hysterical.
Now, I'm going to tell you, there it has been years since Floyd has been in a full-on sprint.
See, now we know why you've been starting to run a little bit more.
Yes, so I ran.
For a moment like this.
So I ran left, and there was a big old crowd of people, and I knew what to do. I said, excuse me, excuse me, excuse me, got right in the middle, and I knew it. They weren't going to be able to see me anymore. It's a crowd of 100 people all trying to get to the thing. Tall people, short people, whatever, right? And then, of course, I had a jacket on that said Floyd on it, so I literally took off my jacket. It said my name on it. And I'm like, just in case she had paid attention, right? Just in case someone had tried to check me down. So I'm just following the path of the crowd, so I'm nowhere near where I parked, right? Man, the Alamo Dome is the weirdest setup. It is so hard to get to the fucking parking lot. So I literally end up walking down the street about a half a mile to a mile out of the way. And because you're in a dome and where all these people, my phone's not working. So I finally get it because I'm trying to call from all the way as soon as I get away. I get away. I call. I finally get the phone to ring, right? I got a bunch of missed calls, but nothing ever rang. I then turn back around, walk all the way back, meet them at parking lot C, right? We're good. We're good as far as the chair. So I'm waiting on my wife to come up the stairs, and I'm just sitting there holding the chair, and this lady, I'm not going to use any descriptors because I don't want to offend anybody, but she's a lady that looks a certain way. She says, my knee hurts. Can I sit in your chair? And I look at her and I was like, I haven't even sat in this chair. I literally just bought this chair. I haven't even sat in this chair. So I'm going to go ahead and say no thank you. I said it polite. No thank you. She's like, oh, it's just my knee hurts. I really want to sit in the chair. And I'm like, no. You know, no. I look at Tiffany who's standing next to me. And she's like, no, I wouldn't let her sit in my chair. And I was like, okay. I know I'm not being an asshole. So I say no. And she's like, I'm not going to steal it. And I'm like, it's not that you're going to steal it. Literally, are you hearing me, Austin? I have not sat in this chair.
Yes.
No one has sat in this chair. And she wants to sit in my chair. This rather sweaty looking
There's an lady. Amazing idea that you could just, your knee hurts, sit on the floor.
There was plenty of ground right there, right? It was plenty of ground. So she says, fuck you then. Called me an asshole and said, I could take the chair if I wanted. I looked her in the eye in a very rare angry Floyd, and I said, I'd like to see you try.
Holy shit, dude. My God. So, dude, like, do not catch Floyd on, like, man nearly lost his chair, and he had to run from basically the popo.
And my heart is racing. You know, like, still, I'm... Like, I've ran a lot. So.
Dude, I'd imagine, because Tiff was right next to you, right?
Yeah.
I'd imagine her looking at you like, let's just go.
Yes. So, but I had to wait on my wife.
I know. So it's like, let's meet her halfway.
So I look at this lady, and she walks away, and that's it. But, yeah, like, Tiffany looks at me like, I've never actually seen you angry.
Fucking hell, dude. But
this little tiny woman is telling me she can just take her chair from. I'm like, come on, man. Hey, I might be nice. I ain't no bitch. You know what I mean?
Wow.
No, I didn't want you to sit in my chair because you're hot. And you look all hot and sweaty and you're going to fuck up my chair. It had nothing to do with me thinking you were going to steal it.
Mm-hmm.
That was the, honestly, until she said, I'm not going to steal it, that never even crossed my mind.
Yeah.
It was like, there was 100 other reasons I didn't want you to sit in my chair other than, you're going to steal it. Yes, I'm terrified of the tiny white woman stealing my chair. I'm like, what?
God damn. San Antonio.
So, no, that was just hilarious. Well, yeah, we got together. I'm like, I told him, I was like, I am sorry I didn't tell you before I left. But when that lady went away and was, like, looking for people.
Yeah,
like,
again, like, it's an instance that you've never experienced anything like that. And you're just like, I'm going to lose my chair, get kicked out of this show. Like, fucking no.
My whole thing is, if you wanted to take my chair and give me my money back, you know what? I'll go out and get another chair from someone else that's already out the door. But you were going to take my chair and I was going to be out my money. That's what was going to happen. So I really only had one option right then.
Right.
Bounce. So I bounced. It's like, so I tried to call. I was maybe 30 seconds away. The phone would not dial out or ring the whole time. So I got away with the chair.
There you go.
And that's what I feel like. That's what
the things Floyd does for a Cody chair.
Yes. And yes. So the next day, we see Cody. We see Cody going for the picture sign and gives a big hug. Hey, how's it going? He tells Tiffany, he's like, when we won last night, I thought of both of you.
Oh.
Wow. I was like, not expecting to hear anything like that ever. And like, I was like, dude, I never thought I would cross your mind when you won. And like, he could have been working me, but that shit worked right then. He got me. So said hi to my wife. We got a picture. So then I come up with the autograph. He signs the chair. And he's like, dude, thank you for taking the picture with Nick Khan. He's like, and you were wearing the Cody jacket. You made me look really good. And then I said, yeah, I think I'm in the very small Venn diagram of regular fans that have met Tony and Nick Khan. He was like, I think you got something there. And that's how that conversation went.
That's sick.
And then we got an update from Fightful today and to cap this off. That the Cody Rhodes signing with Fitterman's was the most successful signing they've had since the partnership with the WWE, and they look to do more later. And that's from Fightful Select. I'm not taking any credit from that. I just like, let me tell you, I could tell you, because I will say they sold 1,000 photos.
Because I believe it. I believe it.
I was in the first section of people, right? I was in the first section of people. The store, there was a line in the store. A line outside the store wrapped around and all the way down the sidewalk up to the stairs. The dude, the Fitterman guy, I think his name's Rob Fitterman or whatever, come out and said, looks at the crowd and says, oh, fuck. I think he realized they oversold. And they sold so many, they had no more tickets with Cody's face on it. They were scratching out other people's names and writing Cody on the tickets. That's how many they sold. It was impressive. It was amazing. Great weekend. Got to spend time with Tiffany. She got to meet my wife and actually spend time with her first time.
Oh.
So, yeah, like, probably the two closest women in my life actually got to hang out. Jackie Guerrero got to hang with her. And I just met a whole bunch of people in line. It was an amazing time. Us Cody people, we stick together. And, yeah, so that day, my ticket is starting to be booked. I am going to WrestleMania.
And there you go, man. I'm happy for you.
It is actually pretty freaking crazy that that's about to happen.
Yeah. And to cap off the whole little side tangent about Rumble,
yes, you're
Sammy, turn. Sami Zayn.
Yes.
I'm so happy for this dude, man. I've screamed about Sami Zayn since fucking NXT, like 2014 NXT. So the fact that this man got one of the loudest pops I've ever heard, wonderful. I am so ecstatic, and I hope nothing for the best for him. He's genuinely one of my favorite wrestlers, and I'm so glad he's getting his just dues, because I was screaming about this guy fucking years ago, and he's finally getting his love, and I love it. I'm so happy. That's all I had to say on that. But getting back over to the AEW side of things, we got a lot to talk about, too.
No, I mean, something else happened this weekend. You got to talk about it. We talked something about it before the show.
Let me get my shilling out of the little way, and then I'll get...
Okay.
Floyd, Floyd's trying to egg me on right now.
Yeah, I'm excited. I'm excited.
Oh, God. Okay, so we got to get into a lot of things, of course, with AEW this week. Before we get into everything, though, we got to make sure you guys are downloading this fine show on Google or Apple Podcasts. If you enjoy us on Spotify or wherever you listen to us, please share us with your friends, family, coworkers, whoever you wish. You can also leave a rating and a review if you would like as well. But you can also follow us on social media. On Twitter, we are at ATElitePod. At Social Suplex are the guys that make this show possible. Check out all the other shows they have on their network. I'm at Austin Sumowicz, S-Z-U-M-O-W-I-C-Z. Floyd is at Floyd Johnson Jr. on Twitter. I'll mention this real quick, and then I'll get into what Floyd wants me to talk about, which is our news of the week, which is that Dark Elevation had their 100th episode, so they did a few other extra special things, like having Ian Riccaboni, Big Show, and Daddy Magic all on commentary. And the main event had Claudio Castagnoli defending the Ring of Honor World Championship against All Heart Blake Christian. It was a little bit more of like a special Elevation sort of thing. And they've had some guys come on there and do some a lot of cool stuff. So we just wanted to mention that since it's a big mark.
And I also wanted to tell people, they have been upgrading their matches on Elevation.
They have.
Lately. So it's not, I mean, it was skippable. I will tell anybody, I would watch it so you didn't have to. And I would say most of the time it was largely skippable. And, you know, lately they have been really trying to put competitive good matches. We had a triple threat tag last week. Now we had that tag match. Athena was in a match. It was just, it was actually a pretty solid show. It's largely something that if you just like wrestling, like a good weekly wrestling show, it is a good weekly wrestling show.
Yeah, no. So it's a good thing to know that they're really trying to put effort into Dark Elevation, at least, because there's a lot of good. There's some stuff. There's some like some diamonds in the rough a little bit in that regard. But getting into what Floyd wants me to talk about, and some of you might have an idea of what this is, but not exactly, is what I'll preface this as. You might not exactly know because I'm angry, like genuinely fucking angry. Yeah, I know. What else is new? But here's the deal. So with it being Royal Rumble weekend, there was a lot of things. There was a lot of buzz going into the show. Floyd, of course, I'm sure you went to the Royal Rumble Super Show or Fan Fest or whatever the hell it was.
Yeah, that's where I met all the people.
That's where you met everybody?
Yeah.
A lot of fun. There was a event on Rumble Day. It was a WWE 2K23 event at the Royal Rumble Fan Fest. Drew McIntyre was there, and Seth Rollins was also there in the most ridiculous attire, as is Seth Rollins. And this was an event that was specifically for, you know, Royal Rumble, you know, trying to get some last-minute buys. And then also 2K23, Cena's on the cover again, and they put, like, three different versions of Cena on the cover. So 2K23, we're trying to push and sell about the announcement of 2K23. Seth Rollins does an interview. I won't say who the guy who interviewed him is. You can look it up. Seth Rollins does an interview with this guy. And for no reason, with the absolute like skill of segueing as somebody who proceeded to fucking slip and fall and crack their skull on that pavement, we're in an event talking about WWE 2K23 in the Rumble. Hey, Seth Rollins, what's your thoughts on CM Punk? You think he'll ever come back? To which Seth Rollins replies, oh, Philly Phil Brooks, stay away, you cancer, get away from me forever. I don't like Phil, he sucks, I hate him. What, did we all just figure that out? Oh, he sucks, we figured that out over here, they're figuring out that over there. Yeah, go do something else, bye-bye, Phil. For y'all who think that I'm angry about Seth Rollins about what he said about CM Punk, I'm not. I'm really not. Because first, what else new? What new ground have we made? Oh, he's cancerous. Oh, he's toxic. Oh, everyone hates him on wrestling. I can open my phone on Twitter and find 40 people saying the exact same thing right now. Oh, and Seth Rollins hates CM Punk. Could have fooled me. Wasn't it just a couple years ago on Backstage on Fox Sports? Were them two were having a little bit of a beef with Seth Rollins literally tweeting, fight me CM Punk, and CM Punk
talking shit back on backstage. Oh, I must have completely missed that. So no, once again, for the 40 millionth time, if you hate CM Punk, I don't care. Go ahead and do that, because I understand why you would. He is a dick to a lot of people. It's what, I mean, look, he gives it to you straight. It's one of the reasons why I like him. He doesn't bullshit you. He gives you exactly 100% what he is. But it's another reason why people hate his guts. I've always said I don't care if you like him or don't. I just like him personally. I like what I like. I don't give a fuck what people don't like. It's that simple. Where my problem lies is, if y'all are not familiar with myself, and that's completely fine, I get it. I'm really nobody at the end of the day. But I studied broadcast journalism in college. I studied sports broadcasting. And I graduated with a degree in sports broadcasting and journalism. That's what I do for work right now. And let me tell you right now, I've never seen such a fucking hack in my life than this dipshit interviewing Seth Rollins for that little clip. What a fucking hack you are. The absolute segue of that interview. Oh, y'all are both Midwestern boys. Oh, see you and CM Punk, bro. I fucking what? Like, where was that even needed? What was the point of bringing that up? I will tell you why. And it was as clear as day. That was the most clickbaity bullshit I've ever seen. Took no effort whatsoever. I could pull a fucking kid off of the side of the street and given him a microphone and told him, hey, go ask this question. Would have gotten the same response. You didn't do anything special. And this motherfucker in the interview wants to look down the lens of the camera with this stupid fucking grin on his face like, oh, guys, can you believe he's saying this? What a scoop. Oh, my God, go to my website. Fuck you, you stupid shitbag. You suck. You are awful at your job, and you're awful at your job, and you don't even realize it, and that's how stupid you are. Because it's fucking clickbait bullshit, and the thing that pisses me off even more so is that people fell for it hook, line, and sinker. That shit went all over Twitter. Everyone was sharing it. And everyone was tweeting at Seth Rollins like, go off, King, let him cook, WWW, fuck CM Punk. And again, people can do what they want. It doesn't matter at the end of the day. It's fine. But again, who the fuck are you? And don't worry, I actually looked at who you are. You're a guy that has no broadcast journalism experience whatsoever. You know how I know that? Because you're listed as your experience as being a wrestling fan for 15 years. Holy shit, that's so crazy. Give this man $100 million and a Pulitzer Prize. He's been a wrestling fan for 15 years. He's obviously qualified to do this shit. You know his qualifications? Being a fucking theater critic. That makes you qualified to cover professional wrestling? Bullshit. Bull fucking shit. You're a hack. An absolute fucking hack. That took no effort whatsoever. You have no ability to actually conduct an interview in a productive way. You just know how to get clickbait. You just know how to ask the questions that you already know the answers to. Seth Rollins hates fucking CM Punk? Holy shit, the sky is blue. I can't fucking believe it. I have to go to your website to figure that shit out. I have to look at your stupid fucking face next to Seth Rollins, looking all fucking aghast like, I can't believe he's saying this. Sure you can't. Sure you fucking can't. And here's the end of the day right now, because this is the fun part of the whole situation. Remember the All Out fucking presser? That's the same dipshit that Punk was calling out at the fucking beginning of the presser about how he did a story about him and Colt Cabana and all that kind of stuff, failing to put in the fucking story that he had a past relationship with Colt Cabana doing improv with him. That was what that whole ordeal was. He wrote a story, didn't fail to mention that he had a past relationship with Colt Cabana. That is journalism 101. If you have past experiences with somebody and you were friends with them or you weren't or you did something with them and you're writing anything about them in a journalistic setting, you have to make that clear. You have to list that in the story like, hey, I had this past relationship, because otherwise you're not showing journalistic integrity and you're lying and you're just fucking being deceitful. That is exactly what that fucking ordeal was at the beginning of the presser. And what did this guy do? He cowered. Oh, no, me and him aren't friends anymore. No, we don't see eye to eye. Blah, 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 blah. Fucking dick rider. Stupid piece of shit. That's how I know you have no journalistic integrity, because that's fucking basic shit that you learn in Broadcasting 101. If you have any past relationships with somebody, you fucking write that shit in there. You put that at the fucking end of the story, being like, hey, just so you know, I had this past relationship with this guy, so I might be compromised in some way. But no, that doesn't get you the clickbait. That doesn't give you the fucking notoriety that you somehow have, even though you're fucking talentless and you're shit. Go fuck yourself. There's a reason why I don't even have to say your fucking name, because people will remember Seth Rollins for the things that he said about CM Punk. People will remember CM Punk shit about everything that he said at that press conference. No one remembers your fucking bum ass, and they won't, because you suck. That's all I have to say on that matter. And Floyd, if you have anything whatsoever, if you have anything else you want to add on the matter, I this shit has been boiling inside of me since fucking Saturday.
That's what it is, and that's what it's always going to be. That's all I got to say about it. So,
all shade, all tea, all effects. Fuck you. See.
Let's talk. We can talk about AEW now.
We'll get to the positive side. Mm-hmm. We'll get to the positive side of the things. Floyd is at the always positive end of the spectrum. I have that little bit of a fucking negative shit on me that I will fucking let loose at a drop of a hat.
And sometimes I feel like our audience could use a change of pace. So, you know, they get sugary sweet from me. I am like a dozen Krispy Kreme donuts with a hot chocolate. You know what I mean? I am sugar on top of sugar. So, sometimes we need you to bring some levity, to some evenness, some balance to this show. So I thank you for that. When I saw it, I actually didn't pay any attention to it, because in my opinion, Seth Rollins was going, ha ha ha, and he was in full Seth freaking Rollins gimmick, and he said the thing that he knew would get played, and he used the media for what he's supposed to use it for. Something that was a soundbite that would have people talking about Seth Rollins, you know, on a weekend where he wasn't going to be the main event. He wasn't one or two. He wasn't going to stay an hour. People were still talking about Seth Rollins. So great.
Yeah, it doesn't hurt Seth in any sort of way. Yeah,
great use of the media from him.
And here's the thing. He's the wrestler. That's his job. You do that shit to get people to talk about you, so that way there's notoriety about you. There's notoriety about the company. There's notoriety about the show. Because even in some sort of small way, that helps build attention for Royal Rumble. Because, hey, maybe CM Punk does show up in Royal Rumble. It's anybody who thought that was going to happen, you're an idiot. But, hey.
He's still under contract with the company.
Yeah.
I mean, see, I'm pretty sure when that contract is up, it's not going to be a quiet thing. They're going to say, we have come to the terms of the release with Phil Brooks, a.k.a. CM Punk. That is.
No, but that's the thing, though. It was the Rumble. Everyone was like, oh, man, is CM Punk going to jump ship? I was like, how in the world are we having this fucking conversation?
Yes. So the people that thought Jay White was going to show up, I'm not mad at you. Because that's the fun of the Rumble, to speculate. But I did laugh at you. Like, mm-hmm. when you were in line and people were like, oh, I think Switchblade's showing up. I was laughing at you. Not with you. At you.
At you.
Because if Switchblade was no longer with the company that he was in, he's a world champion, you know, multiple time Wrestle Kingdom main eventer. That's something that would be reported. You know mm-hmm. what I mean? That he is completely gone from them. That is something that would be reported. That's not going to fall through the cracks. So, hey, but you know what? I'm never going to harsh anyone's mellow. I'm never going to harsh your anticipation or excitement. I felt bad for this kid the next day. He was like, I really didn't like the Royal Rumble. He's like, it was too predictable. And I'm like, and I look at him and we're talking and I was like, sometimes the expected move is the right move.
Sure.
Like, I predicted Hangman was going to beat Kenny Omega because it was time for Kenny Omega to lose. Like, everyone knew it was coming. That didn't stop the match from being great. And then CM Punk's turn to win and all this stuff. We saw these things coming. Some of the best storylines in wrestling history are kind of predictable, because wrestling storytelling is pretty simple. So it was just, it was weird. And yeah. he said this. Now, I have, you know what? I have to give an award that I've never gave before. The dumbest thing I heard of the weekend of the week. And this was
the dumbest thing
I heard. This is dumbest. This is number one. I honestly would find it hard to find anything dumber than the statement I'm about to say. This man said that Logan Paul deserved the WWE shot at WrestleMania more than Cody Rhodes. That's not the dumbest part. He said, because three matches is not enough to qualify you to main event WrestleMania. Talking about Cody, right? okay, Austin. I'm no math magician. I am not an engineer. But do you know exactly how many matches Logan Paul's had in the WWE?
Four.
Three.
Well, counting the Rumble.
Yeah, before the yes. Yes. So, yes, four if you count that as being a match. Cody wrestled, and apparently only pay-per-views count as matches. Because Cody wrestled from WrestleMania, he wrestled on Raw every week until he got hurt. So he's wrestled far more than three matches. And the 10 years he was with WWE before that apparently doesn't count. Logan Paul is more deserving of the main event of WrestleMania than Cody Rhodes. I was stumped. I had no comeback.
People will say the darndest things.
I had no comeback. He won the conversation because I literally had no comeback. Because that was the dumbest thing I'd ever heard. Flat yep. earthers look like geniuses compared to this dude.
Facts.
And I was stumped. I had no witty comeback. I had nothing. I was just like
again, dude, some people will say just the damnedest things.
I think at some point I got out. That's a take. That's definitely a take. I think that was the only thing I could say. Because calling someone stupid to their face is frowned upon.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you shouldn't do it. I am a positive person. I'm a nice person.
See, I would have been like, what the fuck are you talking about?
I literally wanted to call this man stupid. But I was like, you know what?
Listen, people, listen. Floyd is the person that we should all aspire to be. Like, Floyd out here is hearing people say the dumbest shit about pro wrestling. And he's out here being like, you know what? Okay, you know, it's nice to hear different opinions sometimes or whatnot, even though it's wrong. Like,
I mean, that's
definitively like, wrong.
I'm like, your whole reason for saying Cody doesn't deserve the match is for saying he didn't wrestle enough matches.
Yep, and the math don't add up.
And the person that you said deserves it more than him has wrestled infinitely less matches than him.
Mm-hmm. Yep. See, again, Floyd will come out here and he'll hold himself back. Meanwhile, I'll go off on a no-name dipshit internet fucking journalist.
I'm even glad JR was not there. Because JR yep. is more leans towards you.
Yeah.
That man would have called him stupid to his face.
Yeah, you stupid.
Yes, like you are. That is the dumbest thing I've ever heard. You know, I mean, I like saw Idiocracy, the movie, like on his face. I was like, I wish your parents hadn't procreated. Okay? That's how stupid what you just said is. I wish you weren't alive. I don't want you to die. I wish you never existed. So I didn't have to hear that.
You would have wanted it. Like, can I sign you up to be on Ow My Balls?
Everybody in the group all stared at each other. Speechless. Like, everybody that was around, it was about six people around, all looked at each other, and we all made contact, and none of us knew what to say. This is a real, event just that I wish I was making up. I wish I was telling a colorful story, but I can't make that up.
Yep. But, Yeah, so that can move off from that whole ordeal. Yeah. And I will say too, if people are wondering my thoughts on the Rumble, just real quick, I thought the show was fine. I thought it was fine, but I mean the finish for the entire show with Sammy and the Bloodline, literally top tier, S tier, 5-star shit, like outstanding. That's the reason why people like the ending was so good. It's making people say a mediocre show was outstanding. I will say
the greatest Royal Rumble of all time. Greatest, in my opinion.
Well, there you go. I'm glad you feel.
It has never been touched, and it never will be touched. Oh, God.
Hey, and especially after following last year's Rumble, it was going to be better regardless.
Dude, 4 Rumbles I've been to, right? So the first one, Randy won. Wet fart, right? The second one, the guy that I was going for, Drew McIntyre, won, right?
And that was a great one. That one was really good.
I had to miss my moment. I had to miss Drew main eventing WrestleMania that year because of COVID.
Mm-hmm.
Third WrestleMania I went to last year, Brock Lesnar. Again, wet fart. This year, the wrestler, you know, that honestly, if you talk about other than kind of equal, even before FTR, the person that I can honestly say.
Our bodies come in different shapes and sizes, so doesn't it make sense that our weight loss plans should too? That's the beauty of Noom. They build a personal plan that factors in dietary restrictions, medical issues, and other personal needs so your plan works for you. Noom doesn't restrict or shame when you want to treat yourself. Their flexible program focuses on progress instead of perfection. You don't have to give up carbs or anything. And with their daily lessons, you can learn something new about your food choices every day. After just a few days of using the app, I learned how to recognize cues for overeating and how to choose the right foods to feel full. Stay focused on what's important to you with Noom's psychology and biology-based approach. Sign up for your trial today at Noom.com. That's Noom.com. And check out Noom's first ever cookbook, The Noom Kitchen, for 100 healthy and delicious recipes to promote better living. Available to buy now wherever books are sold.
I was most closely associated with as being a fan is Cody Rhodes, right? I mean, it's pretty known. It's not trying to make myself more important or anything, but people know I'm a huge Cody fan. And I got to see him then win the Royal Rumble. And it's just like the amount of great moments as far as just professional wrestling in general that I have been involved with over the last year that have included my favorites. Honestly, I mean, I've had a wrestling lifetime worth of awesome moments, including my favorites, in the last year.
There you go, dude. There you go. I will still say my favorite Rumbles are the one where Shinsuke won and Drew.
Yeah.
So outstanding.
Drew was cool because Brock Lesnar, man, he's kind of stole the show in that one.
That dude, that was outstanding. And him with Keith Lee, dude, holy shit.
Just chunking the person and their facial expressions. And then Edge, again.
Yes, exactly. Huge.
Throwing Edge's music on is the easiest way to guarantee a pop.
He did that for 2010's Rumble.
Yeah, it's just amazing. So, no. And then Cody with the Triple H entrance, you know, the 30. He came in at 30 and the crowd was going freaking nuts, and it was amazing. Uh-huh. Yeah, I was honored to be there for it.
For sure. Now, I know we've talked a lot. We will go ahead and get into the AEW shit with Dynamite from last week taking place from Lexington, Kentucky, which opened up with the Ocho, Chris Jericho, and Sammy Guevara, Les Sex Gods, facing off against Action Andretti and Absolute Ricky Starks.
Fightful's own Sean Ross Sapp. In the building because he's from Kentucky.
So yep.
I just thought that was pretty cool that he was
actually. Shout out to Cody making fun of Sean. No, we can't let Sean have the last question for this press conference. We can't. That was funny.
Yes.
It's like, we'll go all night, but Sean can't have the last question. But this was a solid opening match, I would say. Having Andretti continuing to try and get one over on Jericho, who seems to be, once again, the guy that just cannot seem to get past him. But basically, there is a lot of outside stuff that took place in this match. There was a moment where Sammy Guevara is hit with a hanging neck breaker, but then Ricky Starks hits Rochambeau on Jericho on the outside, but then Daniel Garcia comes, hits him with a baseball bat, and then that's when Action Andretti's in the ring, and he is hit with the GTH by Sammy Guevara, and he gets pinned by Sammy Guevara. So a little bit of a surprise right there as when Action Andretti gets hit with the bat, and then all of a sudden he takes the pin. So they finally were able to get Action Andretti at least a little bit by doing some cheating superstar type of stuff with some sports entertainer stuff. And Jericho and Guevara get the win. I thought this was a pretty solid opening match.
I thought it was a needed result.
It was, because again, Andretti had been like gotten one over and over and over. It was like it seemed like this was the point where it's like, okay, Jericho at least has something. But again, it was more so Sammy's work as it was opposed to Sammy. It was the Jericho Appreciation Society basically giving Jericho a chance to make sure he can be like, okay, I beat you.
Yes, but it's been 6-on-2, and the fact that the two has been in beating the six has been kind of ridiculous.
Yeah, they needed to at least finally jump on them.
Yeah, the numbers game had to work once. Otherwise, you know, why are you a group? So, no, yep. No, that was actually a pretty cool moment. I believe this is a show where I had something that I didn't like. And actually, I had a tweet kind of, I wouldn't say blow up, but mini blow up.
So, do you have the tweet right now?
Do I have the tweet right now? No, but I do remember when it happened, and I was going to point it out when it happened.
Okay, perfect. Then we'll get to it when we get to it. Yeah. Moving, though, on afterwards, there was a beautiful, beautiful video package honoring the legacy of Jay Briscoe. This was the moment where finally they were able to do at least some form of tribute to Jay Briscoe on Dynamite. Warner Discovery Media, whatever the hell, like finally acquiesced, and they allowed Mark Briscoe to be on the show, and they allowed the video package and all that kind of stuff. And then just after the show went off the air, the Ring of Honor episode of the tribute Celebration of Life episode about Jay Briscoe came out. Lots of fun that we won't go over that, but I will say, shining moment was when the crowd interacted with the Eddie Kingston QT Marshall match, and Eddie gets the crowd to hold QT while he chops him, and QT tries to do the same thing, and the fans just tell him no. And then they're like, chop him again, when Kingston turns him back around. That was a lovely moment, and everyone had a lot of beautiful things to say about Jay Briscoe. So definitely seek that out. It's on Honor Club and it's on YouTube if you have any, if you haven't seen it yet.
And his memorial service from Sunday on the 20th.
Yeah.
A memorial service on Sunday, 29th, is on YouTube. I did not personally watch it, but everyone that liked it thought it was amazing.
There's some clips that have come out about Mark's eulogy that he gave.
Yeah, but I will say this. I decided not to watch that because for me, unfortunately, I have the fortunate ability to say my last memory of Mark Briscoe or Jay Briscoe.
You mean of Jay Briscoe?
Excuse me. Did not mean to do that, but we were talking about Mark. But the last memory of Jay Briscoe was covered in blood after a battle, after one of the best matches I ever seen in my life. Covered in blood with the ROH titles in the belt next to his brother. That's my lasting memory of it, and I think it's kind of perfect.
Yeah. It's pretty good to put that like that. We then will move over, though, to the TNT Championship match between Darby Allin and Buddy Matthews. These guys did really, really good stuff. I will say there was some awesome fucking stuff. Buddy Matthews, dude, like he can hit with fucking authority and speed in his moves. And I remember seeing this dude do a quick little match at WrestleMania 34 FanFest where he literally just did at WrestleMania Access. Yeah. A match with what's his name? The guy that got hurt all the time. And then he had a small stint in AEW. What the hell is his name?
He got hurt all the time?
He was in the AEW for like, yeah, he got hurt. And he was like, oh, my career's over. He also raps. What's his name?
Enzo Amore?
No. Enzo was never in AEW.
I don't know. You said he raps all the time. That's not.
No. What the fuck is his name?
I don't remember. He raps.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure he raps. Yeah. I'm
trying to think of rappers.
Oh my god, dude, it's driving me nuts because I know who he is, but I mean, his name is genuinely like it's because I'm fucking blanking on it for some reason. What the fuck, dude? Dude, shit.
What does he look like?
He's black.
Black. Okay, okay.
He's short and quick and speedy.
Leo Rush. Thank you.
Leo Rush. That's his fucking
name.
Why
didn't you just say it was black? There's like five wrestlers. Thank you.
Yeah, because in my head I was thinking Lee. In my head I had Lee Moriarty, and I'm like, that's not right, but they both start with Lee. Like,
it was like, all you had to do was say it was black. I'm right
hell,
there.
Hell, man. Right there, I can point him out. Yes. Son of a bitch. No,
we all know
I saw
each other.
I saw Buddy
Matthews
have a match with. Yeah, I saw Leo Buddy Matthews have a match with Leo Rush at WrestleMania 34 Access, and it was fucking sick. Honestly, they just moved with such quickness and force and everything they did. And Buddy did the same thing in this match with Darby as well. They did really, really fucking good stuff.
Buddy Matthews is one of those people I kind of wish would have. I mean, I like him in the House of Black. Don't get me wrong. I do. I think he brings something to the look. But I kind of wish he just would have went to Impact and dominated because he's such a good wrestler, right?
He is.
And, but he's never going to be kind of pushed to the top of a company for him to really show how good of a wrestler he is. And it was like that year that he was the champion, and on top at 205 Live, everybody was like, oh my God, Buddy Matthews is just basically stole Kenny Omega's moveset because he could do everything amazingly. And it's just like he was getting all this love, and it's just like, I wish he was in Ebola or something just where everybody could just see how good he is because he is really, really good. And it's like the wrestling fan knows how good he is. But he's just never been in a position to be pushed as a heavyweight. I could even see him going like to New Japan and maybe, you know, he was a cruiserweight in WWE. Maybe he could be a junior heavyweight in New Japan. I don't know. He's just too talented to sometimes he's always in that third
just to
spot.
Be a third member.
Yeah. Yeah. He's too talented.
I agree with that. I am glad that he is in the House of Black because, again, he does, I think, add a different element there. But yes, he could go wherever he wanted and just be a guy that could just do outstanding matches and really tear it up. Darby Allin got the retaining win. Samoa Joe then appeared on the television screen on the Titantron to call out Darby Allin, saying that I'm going to take everything from you. He's going to take back what is mine. The king will not be usurped by a man like you. And he'll say, you will learn that championship win will be the biggest mistake you made in your career. So Joe, looking to come back and get that TNT title back.
Top-tier menacing promo.
Top-tier. Joe
elite,
is.
Elite god tier.
Like, he is.
This is the only man that has ever cut a promo that made me scared for Brock Lesnar.
Yes. Oh, dude, that promo was outstanding.
Exactly, and you knew exactly what I was talking about.
Fucking forehead to forehead shit, yes. Dude.
He made me scared for Brock Lesnar because this dude just has this badass,
just
tone
absolute
to it.
Intensity.
I was like, dude, Darby's gonna die. That's like because he gives off the attitude and the feel that he will literally murder you to win. In his promos, in his words. And it's just like, it's so beautiful to me. I mean, as a fan of wrestling, to get caught up in to maximum level believability. I really like, even when he cut it, I was like, really like, oh my God, those are the Joe promos that like, that dude could come in and put on a chin lock for 15 minutes. And I wouldn't care because the promo got me so excited for this match. I am ready to see Darby and Samoa Joe go at it because of Joe's promo.
For sure. We then had Jungle Hook, Jungle Boy Jack Perry and FTW champion Hook face off against Ethan Page and Matt Hardy of The Firm. Once again, Matt Hardy kind of having to do Ethan Page's bidding and all this kind of stuff. But as the match is going on, though, there's a point where Matt goes for the twist of faith after he blind tags himself in, but then Ethan Page is like, what the fuck are you doing? I'm going to finish him off, and tags himself back in. Page tried to go and hit a twist of fate of his own. Jack Perry got out of it, hit the snare trap submission. Hook then proceeds to keep Matt Hardy out of the way, and then Ethan Page taps out.
It didn't seem like Matt Hardy was fighting that hard to get in.
No, he was not. He was just kind of like, if we're gonna lose, at least you're losing it for us.
I'm like, yeah,
don't blame me.
You look like he looks like the Cincinnati Bengals right guard blocking on Sunday.
Ooh, man, how about that mayor?
He needs to know his role and shut his mouth, jabroni.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Burrowhead. That was such a good move, wasn't it?
No, dude.
You have become the Bungles once again.
Dude.
I'm happy for you, bro. I'm happy. It's so weird, dude, because I've got two wrestling friends that I'm super close with. One's a Chiefs fan, one's a fucking Eagles fan. And I'm like, I'm just in the middle of all this shit. All
right.
Waiting for 2024 when the Lions win it all.
You know what's so funny about this game, right? The Eagles and Chiefs, if you hear, they like each other. So this is going to be the least angry Super Bowl ever.
You've got brother versus brother, dude. Two brothers that people love. The Kelseys are like some of people's favorite football players.
And then AJ Brown posted that him and Willie Gay went to the same high school in New Jersey and won a state championship together. These team are genuinely friends. And that's why I'm like, I'm not talking a lot of shit to my Eagles fans because that's not the vibe the teams are bringing. So I'm like,
okay. Philly fans will still talk shit because it's Phil.
They're going to talk shit, and I'm going to let them talk shit because I got him. You know what I mean? I got him. My guy's the best quarterback in the league on one foot. Okay. I don't have to talk shit.
I'm glad Jalen Hurts made the Super Bowl so that way Jared Goff can make the Pro Bowl. So thank you for that.
Hey, Jalen Hurts, I will not commend. You will not hear me speak more glowingly about football players outside of my team than Jalen Hurts. That dude is a born leader and a born winner, and he does everything right. I like Jalen Hurts. What is? Mm-hmm. What are we at now? 11 days from now? Fuck Jalen Hurts.
Yep, there it is. Moving on now, we had the family therapy session, which, Floyd, our prayers were answered. It was a backstage segment. It wasn't in the middle of the ring.
Yes, and it came off so much better.
It did.
TK, I don't even know if you listen to this show. You probably don't even know I exist. I was kind of just Tiffany's friend, and I'm fine with that. But I thank you for this backstage segment because it worked. And it built up excitement for what's it going to be. And pissed off Billy Gunn is probably one of my favorite pissed off people. It's like,
yeah,
this is
no,
stupid.
Absolutely.
It's like, this is stupid. I feel like this is building towards Billy turning on the Acclaimed. I don't know why. And you know what? And if someone says they didn't see it, and Floyd, I don't know what you're looking at, I completely understand. It's just a vibe I picked up on that it feels like Billy Gunn's going to turn on the Acclaimed. I don't know why. It just feels like it.
Right.
You ask me to say, what did he do? Was there a facial expression? Just the overall vibe. That's really the only way that people are going to care about this feud, because literally no one's talking about this feud. No one cares.
Yeah, that's the thing, is like, again, there's no real like heat. There's no threat with the guns.
Yeah, there's like no heat in this feud at all.
Yep.
I want it to be, because I like Austin and Colton, dude. They are nice. They got a look. They work hard. I mean, they're pretty good on the mic. I mean, you know, they could get a little nastier
Austin is better than Colton.
Yeah. And that's what I'm saying. It's just like, they're there. They look like they should be stars. Something's missing. I don't know what it is. Can't tell you what it is, but something is missing there.
Yeah. And I think after, we'll see where this finishes out, because I'm still interested to see how it goes.
I don't feel like their come up has been like,
no,
slow enough. Like, if like Top Flight was in the same position, I would be okay with it. But I felt like it went from them losing every week to now they're in the title picture. It just felt, felt kind of rushed and like out of nowhere. I don't feel like.
Yeah, and again, it was just simply because, oh, their dad's involved with it, so I guess that's the excuse.
Yeah, and I'm like, so I need you to maybe win a rivalry against a lesser tag team, win another rivalry, and then I'm like, oh, okay. Or like win a fatal four-way match where you, you know, earn the number one contender spot. It just feels like they're just kind of thrown in there right now. I kind of like, even though he was better, almost how I feel like people felt about Kip Sabian in the Orange Cassidy thing. It was like, why are you getting a title shot? You know, why are you getting another title shot? It's like, give me somebody I think could be real. I want, like I said, I want the guns to work pretty much as anyone except their dad, because I genuinely like the dudes. They're cool people, whatever. But yeah, it's just like something's off about this, and I wish I could put my finger on it.
Yeah, and I think after we get some time, I think there'll be a moment where it kind of clicks, hopefully, because, again, I feel like they've got a lot of they got to make sure that the acclaimed what they're in as the tag team champions, it has to be, like, top-tier stuff, because, you, like, again, FTR is just waiting in the wings for you to fucking slip up and then give them a reason to get the belts.
Dude.
Don't give them a reason.
They're always there, and like Matt Cardona, they're always ready.
There you go. There was a backstage interview with Hangman towards Renee, who was, you know, all awkward, being like, hey, your husband killed me. I killed him. And we'll see what happens next week. We're 1-1 right now. So we got to see him in Ohio next week. And Yuta all of a sudden comes in there and is just like, you know, defending his BCC member, and then challenges him to a match on Rampage. And yeah, there you go. And also, I thought it was quite funny how Yuta accepted for on Moxley's behalf. That I thought was kind of a funny little moment. But it was a good match to push for Rampage. Yuta Hangman is a good Rampage match, I will say.
Okay. Yeah.
So then American Dragon Bryan Danielson going through the trials and tribulations of MJF as he faced the Machine Bryan Cage.
This is where my beef came in, so I can't wait. Let's get here. Yeah.
All right. So. Brian Cage, the fucking enigma that is Brian Cage.
Such an amazing.
Bigger, but I can't put a finger on why nothing works. Nothing just clicks with this guy. I don't know why, because he's got a great look. He has a pretty solid move set. That being said, I think Wardlow does some stuff better than him. But again, I mean, that's just my personal opinion. People can disagree with that as well. I don't know what it is, dude. Maybe it's because just, you know, the promos, I haven't heard enough good work of him there. Maybe it's because every match I see him, I'm always more focused on his opponent. Maybe it's because he was a dick to my friend one time. I don't know. But I just, again, this was a downgrade, especially after last week when Danielson's having matches with Konosuke Takeshita and all this type of stuff, dude. I'm just like, this felt like we just kind of went backwards. Like, this could have started off the trials, but it didn't. And it was a fine match, and Danielson did well, and they were really working his shoulder too, which they then would talk about in the backstage promo that Brent Danielson had, which was amazing, where he fucking talks about how his shoulder was separated, and he was like, I would have fucking flipped my shit if they stopped the match, and they, like, Doc came and tried to get me out of there. That I loved, and Danielson had an outstanding promo on the show. Definitely see it if you haven't. But yeah, I don't know much. Brian Cage, just nothing worked for me. And then MJF comes down after the match, after Danielson wins. Proceeds to get angry, and then Brian Cage then starts going after Brian Danielson. MJF then gets a metal chair, gives it to Cage. And then they start throwing Brian into the shoulder, into the ring post. MJF going after him. And then Takeshita comes down and chases MJF up the ring. And then that's when Takeshita hit a running knee strike on Brian Cage.
All right. Now it gets to the thing that made me angry. And the tweet that Mini blew up. It didn't blow up. It Mini blew up. Okay. The tweet, and it was in large amounts of caps, was aimed at Mr. Wheeler Yuta. And I said, where are we at? I'm close. So Wheeler Yuta runs out to defend Jon Moxley, who is not at the show, but does not go out to help Bryan Danielson, who is right effing there. He is literally in a faction. Make it make sense.
Mm-hmm. That's pretty fucking funny. And pretty fucking funny.
Somebody's like, so, okay, someone's like, I forgot which one. There was one guy that made it make sense. He did his best to make it make sense, saying he's kind of on the outs with the Blackpool Combat Club. So I was like, okay. Fair. You have made a point. Do I necessarily agree with it? No, because I don't feel like that has really been told, right? So Tuesday, January 31st, AEW puts out new merch, and it's Blackpool Combat Club.
Yep.
Guess who's on the Blackpool Combat Club picture? In the front.
Yuta.
And who else?
Danielson and Moxley.
Yes. So they are in the same faction. So again, I restate, make it make sense. He is literally in the back defending this guy that's not even there. His guy's getting beat up in the middle of the ring. Let me sit here and catering. Let me have a water. This tasty water. Good beverage. To the point where Takeshita, who's not even in the group, has to run down to save Bryan Danielson so his arm doesn't get broke.
Yuta, I don't know, man. I don't know what you're doing, but you're trying to be a good team member, but like seem to not give a fuck about Danielson whatsoever. Because like I've seen this man pinned either with Claudio and fucking Moxley, but not Danielson. It's very odd.
Yes, that's crazy. Yeah.
But either way, we'll move on, though. Tony Storm had a match with Ruby Soho, and Dr. Britt Baker was going to be in the match. It was going to be a three-way, but due to injury, she was not able to compete. But Tony and Ruby did a pretty solid match, though. Again, I'm digging the fact of how, like, Ruby is kind of being, like, in this whole, like, AEW Originals versus transplants for the women's division. I'm glad how Ruby's kind of being there, being, like, the, you know, no, I came from there. But these girls are busting their ass, and I'm not going to let you be like, oh, they've been nowhere. They don't know what anything is. Like, they're working their asses off.
I don't know how this is going to play off, but I do like right now that they're not sticking to the strict AEW Originals.
Right.
Versus, I'm like, Ruby, you know, like I said, she feels more committed to AEW. So maybe she's more of the homegrown talent than, you know, outside.
Right. Well, and also she's the kind of person. She's the person who could understand, like, you know, she was the runaway. She understands why people went to find a new safe haven in wrestling, because she had her problems over there and she's seen what they've built.
Yeah.
Like she could have run away anywhere. She ran away to AEW for a reason.
Correct. So, I mean, and you put it the best way using her name. But, yeah, it was just like, I like it. Because, honestly, me and JR were on the phone trying to do our five-on-fives, and we, like, with sticking to the strict, this person was made in AEW, you were making some strange bedfellows. So, I guess it's getting to the point where you can make it make sense.
Yeah, no, I was seeing it, and I was like, I'm not sure. But there are some pieces in there that I'm liking right now. I want to see it continue to build a little bit, but things that I like, which is good. MJF then addressed Takeshita afterwards, basically saying, stay out of my business or you're going to be punished. There will be consequences. And he's like, hey, how is your shoulder, Brian? Like, it seems like, you know, you might be in trouble. And listen, bad things happen to people who mess with me. Tonight was just the tip of the iceberg. And now he has to go up against Timothy Thatcher, who knows a thing about mangling arms and mangling shoulders. And he's like, just trying to fucking grind that in. And that's going to be a great fucking match, too. You got two technical fucking beasts.
You want to talk about the long lost not member of the Blackpool Combat Club?
It's Thatcher, for sure.
I mean, that's William Regal's long lost son, dude. That dude kills people. You know, it's like, dude,
I heard Thatcher, and I was just like, oh, yeah, you have me intrigued.
That is going to be a physical match. If you like work, shoot, very kind of physical matches, you're going to love this match. So,
yeah.
Enjoy, if that's your cup of tea.
Yeah, for sure. For sure. We then get to the main event, as it was Mark Briscoe, the ROH World Tag Team Champion, facing off against Jay Lethal, celebrating the late, gray Jay Briscoe, which was also on his 39th birthday. And we had Ian Riccaboni and Caprice Colvin be on commentary for this, as this was a full Ring of Honor match. And this was just special. It was a special moment. Mark out there doing great stuff. It's just, again, you can't not look at this and just be like, at least get a little bit of a warm feeling in your heart about it. And it was awesome. Everyone came out after the match was over with the t-shirts on, and like, and Mark just talking into the camera, like, I love you, bro, and all that kind of stuff. Yeah. It was great.
Yeah. Mark,
the hug, him and Jay Lethal hugging after the match. Like,
I don't know a lot about Mark Briscoe in his personal life or anything like that. I really don't. But how he was and how he was comforting other people and how upbeat he was, he seems like the person, he seems like a very much of a kindred spirit of me and someone I would want to be around. And that's pretty much the high, like one of the higher compliments I can say. That dude just seems like, you know, his heart was in the right place. And he went out there and performed and dedicated to his brother. And, yeah, I'm about to get misty-eyed talking about it. And I was just like, because like I said, I'm like, I'm not, you know, not, this is not to make it about me. But I only could imagine losing my brother. You know, I pretty much associate professional wrestling mostly with him. And probably in a large, same to large way, you know, Mark and Jay associated with each other. So I could not imagine losing my brother and then going back to work. So shout out to him. Yeah,
for sure. But that was the closing moments of AEW Dynamite. I'll mention just real quickly, I will say, because we've gone a bit long with this episode, I'll just mention Rampage in kind of a quicker sort of sense. First, I want to say the match that we had between Yuta and Hangman, great. Really, really good match. And again, it was a huge win for Hangman.
Dude, Willa Yuta is, I mean, I know his opponents are strong, but wrestling's, you know, I've heard it described as a dance and you need a great dance partner. Man, Willa Yuta is a great dance partner.
Oh my God.
That dude knows how to put on a match, and that dude's an excellent wrestler, and he is going to, he's going to have 5 stars by his name quite a bit before his career is over.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I'm so happy that like every time I see him in a ring, he just works so well with whoever he's in the ring with. It doesn't matter who. He just works so well.
Hard, and he's so fluid and somehow fluid and intense at the same time. He pulls off this thing. It's like every match I think he can win. And I mean, that goes to the person he's working with, but you have to give that man the credit too, because he's in there with some of the best wrestlers in the world, and he's toe for toe, move for move with them. Yeah, I am very impressed with Willa Yuta.
For sure, for sure. Another thing I want to mention from this show too was that we actually saw Dustin Rhodes getting interviewed until he got interrupted by Swerve Strickland and the Mogul Affiliates, and they... Strickland goes, the nerve of you Rhodes family guys, your brother ain't shit. Let's not even talk about your dad, which really pissed Dustin off. I'm all about Dustin Rhodes getting in there with Swerve Strickland. I think that would be a fucking fun little match.
It was all good until he said Cody wasn't shit.
Yeah, sure. Now it's like, this motherfucker.
What? I mean, like, what? What? Say it to his face. Man gave you a job, and now you gonna talk bad about his name? He built you a company and then gave you a job. Ungrateful.
And stepped away from it.
Ungrateful. He stepped out. You know what? He moved out so other people can shine in the spotlight. You know? He's just such a good, kind-hearted person.
Such a good person.
And then
swerved
to talk down on him like that.
Sneaky swerve.
And disrespecting his elder. Dustin going to have to take him over his knee. We'll see.
For sure. For sure. Then, of course, the main event of this Rampage was Jamie Hayter, the AEW Women's World Champion, versus Emi Sakura. Jamie got a fucking killer response. People love Jamie Hayter, and I'm so glad to see that because she's done well.
Big adjustment from, you know, AEW turning. I mean, without turning her, without doing the big dramatic thing, they have turned Britt and Jamie face.
Yeah, for sure. And it's worked out too well. Oh, and her and Emi Sakura had a really good match, like really good. Like, I'm glad to see that Emi Sakura gets usage on these shows, too, because she's just got such a level of just like.
Apparently she's one of the trainers. She works with the women.
Yeah, that's what I meant. Yeah. So exactly. Like the experience and the ability to like help lead, and like you can tell that she works well with the people that she's in the ring with.
Very physical match. I got to say, having her royal court coming out with her adds to her presentation. And then it was women slapping meat, dude. It was a very physical, aggressive match. Like, you don't see women's matches like that very often. And
yeah,
they killed it. They killed it. That was probably it's going to be weird to say this. That was probably one of my favorite women's matches in AEW history because it was just so physical. It was just boom, mm-hmm. boom, boom, strikes. And then how she finished her with a clothesline, it was just, it was a Jamie.
Yeah, her rip cord clothesline, dude, it hits.
Yeah, and it's just like Jamie Hayter hits hard. A catchphrase literally tells the story of what makes Jamie Hayter so awesome.
Absolutely. That was the main stuff we wanted to mention on Rampage, I will say. Real quickly, though, we'll do our little preview of Dynamite for tonight taking place in Dayton, Ohio. We get Konosuke Takeshita facing off against Brian Cage. Brian Danielson, of course, gets his match against Timothy Thatcher. The Acclaimed will be in action. Jade Cargill will face off against Red Velvet in a TBS championship match. Hangman Adam Page will be facing Jon Moxley in the third match of these two. And then Darby Allin will already be defending his TNT championship again, this time against Samoa Joe, looking to get it back.
My stomach, bold prediction. Hangman and Mox is not going to have a winner.
Really now?
Double knockout.
Full Rocky II style?
Like, both clotheslining each other, full 10 count, match is over. I think it then goes to the last man standing match at Revolution.
Yeah. You know what?
It might be wrong, and I will never bring it up. But if I'm right, this is how we're starting the show next week. You know?
I could imagine this being the starting match for sure. But it looks like we got a pretty solid-looking Dynamite coming our way for this
episode. Dude, like, Brian Cage, where all the things he doesn't work, that dude puts on nothing but banger matches.
And against Takeshita?
Yeah, that's going to be a 10-15 minute match, and it's gonna be amazing with a bunch of high spots. It's gonna be amazing, and so that's gonna be great. Brian Danielson and Thatcher, there is a certain person that this match is for. If you like the Young Bucks matches, and that's your stuff, this is probably not gonna be the type of match you want, because this is gonna be a lot on the mat, a lot of twisting each other, and very physical. It's not going to be a lot of hot flying in this match. It is pretty much going to be like blood sport on AEW, right?
Mm-hmm.
Cargill and Red Velvet. Cargill is stale as hell right now.
There's got to be some sort of juice, dude. I know they're really trying to, like, you know, stretch out the winning streak. I'm saying, dude, a winning streak can only go for so long before people just stop caring.
And especially when you don't have that many women in a company.
Uh-huh.
Stale.
Like I said, dude, I was like, come on, man. Someone's got to be the person to beat her at this point. Like, you don't got much left.
I'm not saying she has to lose, but something significant has to be added to this act.
It doesn't even have to be a title match.
To make it make someone care. And right now, Jade is so stale, no one cares. So
yeah, it's unfortunate, but there's got to be something, dude. It's been too long.
Yeah,
but that's our preview for Dynamite for this week. Now, real quick, we've got a good amount of things to talk about in some other headlines for AEW. So Floyd, go ahead and take it,
dude. I did my best to try to get all the headlines. I know sometimes I'm missing like very, very like, oh, you should have said this. Well, New Japan announced Kota Ibushi has left the company. Kota has then, looks like he's going to be somewhat of a freelancer. He has signed for GCW shows in WrestleMania weekend, one for Joey Janela Spring Break. His opponent has not been announced. But for Josh Barnett's Bloodsport 9, he has been announced to face Speedball Mike Bailey in what are some people are calling a dream match. I never frown on dream matches because I imagine that's somebody's dream match. But yeah, so what happened early in the day? I gotta say this: is someone was like, "Well, Kota Ibushi is gonna show up in Dayton, Ohio, and challenge Jon Moxley to Bloodsport," and I was like, "That was like all I wanted, right?" They said something cool, and now I want it. And then so they announced something that would have probably be cool most of the time, but then you know. I had heard the other thing, and now I want the other thing, even though no one promised me the other thing. No one said I was
getting it. It's only when you heard it. It was when you were just like, you know what?
That sounds awesome. And then, yeah. I'm sorry. I just – Kota Ibushi and Mike Bailey in a regular match? Hell yeah, during match. In a work shoot match? I don't think I care. But, well, whatever. There are a bunch of people that love
just give me sport. More Kota Ibushi in the States, dude. That's all I want. Kota Ibushi, exactly. I love him. Dude, I love him.
Dude, I would put him on Impact and have him beat Josh Alexander the first night and win the Impact title, dude. That's how much I like Kota Ibushi. Former AEW MVP Cody Rhodes won the 2023 Royal Rumble and will main event.
We get it.
Against Roman Reigns. Well, it's in the notes. I had to read it. God.
Oh, who wrote the notes?
Oh, hey. That is beside the point. It's on the copy. I had to read the copy. Okay? The hold up on the release date of the AEW Fight Forever video game, which I've made many, many jokes about, is apparently there is an issue with the rating of the game. I think they want to get it to like the teen rating.
Yeah, they want a teen rating. They want a teen rating, but apparently what it's been leaning towards more is a mature rating. So, and they want it.
And that would
they want a teen rating like the WWE games, I think.
Because that would limit a mature rating, would limit who could buy the game, and that way it would limit your audience. I mean, kids do find a way around that, but you know, you want to.
Bro, like, yeah, again, I get it, but like, mature rating, no one gives a fuck about the ESRB ratings. They don't care.
Dude.
Only fucking weird, like, up their ass, like, fucking. Like, Southern Baptist or something.
See,
I don't
my
know.
Whole thing is, like, you should probably just have. I remember old games had the blood on and blood off option, you know, and it was like that was how WWE kept the rating because you didn't have to have the blood on. It came actually off.
Yeah.
You had to go turn it on. So I don't even know if that's an option. I don't know nothing about video game programming to be able to speak to that. So, but yes, that is the delay on the game for all that. No, couple notes, other notes is Mark Briscoe, Jay Briscoe's. A tribute shirt is still online at Shop Honor Pro Wrestling Tees and Shop AEW. All proceeds go to the Pew family. And I am excited and happy to announce that this week's poster, for AEW, which was, it ended up being the dog, a poster of the dog collar match between FTR. A poster of the dog collar match between FTR and the Briscoes. There was a rare variant, 1 of 25, and then there was a 1 of 200, with 100% of the proceeds going to benefit the Pew family. They both completely sold out within 10 minutes, which is awesome. I want to focus on that first, that, you know, helping make money for the Pew family, which is the most important thing. But I also like to do my little brag that I got both.
There you go.
Dude, I got the 1 of 25, got back in, and still got the 1 of 200.
Fuck yeah, dude. That's awesome.
That's called luck. That is 100%. There was no skill. just dumb ass luck. I was driving home from San Antonio, and I kept telling my wife at 11:45 I was going to stop at a gas station so I could try to get this poster, and she thought I was like joking. 11:44 I pull over to the gas station, connect to their Wi-Fi, and I was able to get through. And she laughs at me because she thinks I'm so stupid a lot of times. She loves me anyway, but I am very stupid. But I was happy. I was so happy I had to tell Cash and Dax that I got it. I was like, damn, I got both of them. Because I didn't think there was any way I was getting both. I thought I'd be lucky to get the one of 200. I didn't think I was getting both. I mean, it's super special for me because I was at the match. You know what I mean?
It was right. Like,
I was there. And it's probably my favorite match I've ever seen live. And I that's probably not going to change at this point. So the fact that I can get them signed, get them framed, you know, to represent this amazing moment, one of Jay Briscoe's last matches, which was a complete masterpiece of a match. The fact that and the money goes to his family, amazing, amazing. Everything that the AEW Ring of Honor family is doing for the Briscoes and, you know, all the tributes, it's just been beautiful. I love when the community comes together. You know, it's just amazing. So, this is what, I hate that it takes this kind of stuff to happen, but I try to tell people that are bickering over AEW and WWE and blah, 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 is this is what the wrestling community could be.
Mm-hmm.
We can, you know, disagree and have fun and all that stuff, but largely we should all have each other's back.
Absolutely. Absolutely. There you go, Floyd. Closing out perfectly like we always do. Thank you so much, you guys, for listening to this episode of All Things Elite. We really do appreciate it. Make sure you leave a rating on this episode if you enjoyed it and leave a review. And also download this fine show on Google or Apple Podcasts. And if you listen to us on Spotify or wherever you choose to listen to us, give us a share with your friends, family, coworkers, whoever you wish. And you can follow us on Twitter at ATElitePod, at Social Suplex. So the guys that make this show possible, check out all the other shows that they have on their network. I am at Austin Sumowitz, SZUMOWICZ. And Floyd is at Floyd Johnson Jr. on Twitter. So Floyd, go ahead and take us home on this episode of All Things Elite.
I don't even know how many of you listened to this far into the show. You probably cut it off right after this. But I want to take this special moment to say happy birthday to one of the best humans that I know. It's Jackie Rodriguez of the Elite POV, but just Jackie Rodriguez of my life, of my friend, my FTR pal. I mean, honestly, it's like our relationship became very close, very intense. Love this woman with literally all of my heart. And, you know, happy birthday. I know it was on the 29th, but, you know, I haven't done the show since then. But happiest birthdays. We're gonna make them all special from now on. And I hope you have a good one. And with that, I will leave you how I always leave you. Whether it's home, work, or school, always do your best to be elite.